Good afternoon and welcome to the Return to Flight Task Group's post-public meeting news conference. We have five briefers with us today. To my immediate right, General Tom Stafford, co-chair of the task group. To his right, Mr. Dick Covey, also the other co-chair of the group. To his right, Dr. Dan Crippen, who is lead for the management panel. We have Colonel Jim Adamson, lead for the operations panel, and Mr. Joe Cuzzopoli, who is the tech panel lead. What we'll do is we'll have opening statements from, I believe, each of our members today, and then we'll follow that with questions. We'll begin with General Stafford. Tom?
Good afternoon. So it's been a major effort for nearly the last 2 years for the Return to Flight task group, where originally we thought it would be, the task would probably involve just around approximately a year. It's turned out to be considerably more than that. In fact, more than that for the program office, for NASA, the contractors, and many people as we go to Return to Flight. There's been a tremendous amount of effort, and I can't thank the members of the Return to Flight task group for all the work they have put in. The panel chairman, Dick Covey, who's done a tremendous amount of work as a co-chairman, and also the support we had from the program office, the briefers, the contractors, and people that have helped us all the way through. So this morning, again, it's a public meeting. I see some people here that were there when we closed out a series of items, and say that the intent of the CAVE in certain areas had been met, and we're looking forward to having the last couple closed out telephonically. So at this time, I'll turn it over to Co-Chairman Dick.
Thanks, General Stafford. I'd like to just reemphasize again that you know, the purpose of the Return to Flight Task Group was to perform an assessment of the CAVE's Return to Flight recommendations based upon the implementation actions taken by the agency. That has been our primary focus, with the intent that our ultimate customer is a NASA administrator who commissioned us, whose office commissioned us when the former administrator was in it, and now we will be reporting to the new administrator, Mike Griffin, upon the completion of our actions, as we have reported on a periodic basis, but eventually we'll have a final report. For those of you to keep track, coming into this public meeting that we had today, we had closed unconditionally seven of our assessments with observation that the intent of the CAVE recommendation had been met. We have one that we had closed conditionally. After today, we have closed an additional five four of the return to flight recommendations, or complete our assessments, closed them as having met the intent of the CAVE recommendation, and we removed the conditions on the one that we previously had conditions on. Additionally, we completed our assessment of the Space Shuttle Program 3 action, which was crew contingency support, and we completed our assessment of that. That was not a CAVE recommendation per se, although it fit into the return to flight activities in a way that we thought we needed to look more closely at the way the agency was approaching Safe Haven and launch on need for crew rescue. We have completed that assessment, and within our own criteria of looking at the intent that the program, Space Shuttle Program, had for SSP-3, have determined that we believe they have done the work that allows them to meet the intent of their own self-imposed raising the bar activity. We have work left to do, but we understand what's required for us to be able to complete that work, and it occurs over the next several weeks, both from a standpoint of internal work, but also looking for some additional data from the Space Shuttle Program that is already in work to support a critical design verification review on debris, and also a design certification review for heaters on the feed line bellows for ice elimination. those are the primary events that are NASA-driven events that we're awaiting data from to be able to complete some of our assessments. The 641 repair, inspection and repair, we have the data we need for that, and it's a matter of having the time to appropriately review it within the operations panel and have them bring a recommendation forward to us for full consideration by the task group. We're making progress, and is indicative of the progress that the program has made in preparing for return to flight and being able to get to maturity in some of the data and the approaches that have been implemented so that we could complete our assessments. It's indicative of that. And so we're getting closer. We believe that our activities can be completed in time to support a planned FRR on the 29th and 30th of June. And we believe that we should be able to complete our assessments and at least deliver a preliminary report to the administrator that shows the status of those things that we have assessed. So that's what we're trying to achieve. We believe we can do that. I'll turn it over to Dan.
Thank you. I'll try to pick up where you left off, Dick, and say that for the management issues we've been looking at, they have come a very long way. Many of the recommendations by CABE called for plans to be in place before return to flight, partly because of the delays of launch, but also because the NASA administrator said that some of them would be implemented before launch. The organization has gone much further than writing down plans and has implemented much of what we had hoped to see before they returned to flight. We had previously closed, back in December, a recommendation based on a new MOU between NASA and then was called NEMA. That was done quite early on and has been in place and now exercised several times. Today we were able to recommend to the task group, and they accepted, the closing of three other recommendations, the first being 621, scheduling and resources. The genesis for this recommendation, as most of you know from CABE, was their observation that by declaring a time to finish the space station and scheduling flights in between to accomplish that end date, the CABE felt there was schedule pressure that at times had become undue. It's obviously often in the eye of the beholder when good schedule pressure, which is necessary to manage a program like this, crosses the line and becomes detrimental. But CABE wanted to make the statement, at least, which is often determined or often said to be obvious, that you have to match your schedule with your resources. And it's an ongoing issue that NASA will obviously have to be abreast of. But at least in return to flight, we looked everywhere we could to see whether there was decisions being made that seemed to be detrimental or at least less than optimal because of shortage of funds or shortage of people. And in both cases, from talking to people on the floor doing the job all the way up to top NASA management, we found no signs that there was a dearth of resources or that any untoward actions or decisions had been made because of it. We did notice that by changing the schedule fairly frequently, again in perfect hindsight, it probably did preclude some of the longer-term options that ideally might have been undertaken had we known from the beginning that it was going to take this long to get back to return to flight. But again, that's an obvious Monday morning quarterback kind of comment. So overall, scheduling and resources for the moment seem to be fine. Our continuing concern will be, as a kind of passing comment on to ASAP and others and those of you who watch NASA, that many of the funds committed for improving the shuttle are ongoing. The costs of imagery, for example, and other things will create the proverbial bow wave into the future. So these costs are going to be ongoing at one time. And with the new space vision and developmental vehicles in the works, there will be a need for moving funds eventually, in the plan at least, from the shuttle over to the space vision. So in the near term, not even a long time away, we're going to have to be careful to watch the pressures are going to build from the budget on the good things that NASA's been able to accomplish for return to flight. Another ongoing concern, and we in fact raised it in this room the first time we were here, was the potential for lack of personnel resource. And what we were concerned about at the outset was that in creating new organizations within NASA, such as the NASA Engineering and Safety Center, the Systems Engineering Integration Office, and others, that some of the best and brightest would be off into these new, more exciting activities, and would leave the space program itself, and the shuttle program in particular, perhaps wanting for some of these same resources. We did not find that to be the case as time went on. So they were able to hire, at least from outside NASA, perhaps some of the contractors exhibited some of the concerns we were worried about. But more importantly, in the future, not only with the new space initiative being an attraction to some of the folks currently working on the shuttle, but with the overall aging of the federal workforce, many people at NASA are frankly eligible for retirement now, just as they are inside the federal workforce. So there is an ongoing concern that we urge NASA and follow-on observers to pay attention to as well, which is the need for engineers, engineering, and a new crop of folks to be trained up. So overall, we said that scheduling resources, the recommendation by CABE, had been met, and the task group fortunately agreed with the management panel. The next issue we considered this morning was that of MMT, the Mission Management Team. What CABE found or recommended in the wake of the criticism of the MMT, which had become quite a public issue by then, was that there be a plan for additional and significant training of MMT personnel. There are a few more details in the recommendation, but that's largely what CABE had in mind. Here's a place, again, where NASA went much beyond, not only much beyond a plan, but much beyond what they initially thought they were going to do and much beyond what the CABE had in mind. The MMT has been exercised now in 13 different sims, some of them being full-up end-to-end sims, and recently one that even considered the possibility of using, as Dick had mentioned, the CSCS capability or the space station as a habitat in the interim if there was another accident. So the MMT has come a long way. There are a lot of new members. They've been trained. There are resources and documents and facilities and data flows. Lots of things they never had before, and they have done a lot of training and a lot of exercise. Just like everything else, we hope it is a sustained activity. We have discovered that, and I think NASA has as well, that MMT SIMS in particular, but the use of the MMT, is a good place for other pieces to be integrated, whether it's the data, the imagery, but also the way organizations work around a launch and work while on orbit. The MMT has become a place to test things and observe others. So it's a good training facility, not just for the MMT, but for NASA writ large. Again, we recommended and the task group accepted that CABE had met the intent of the recommendation, and as I said, much more than met the intent. The last return to flight recommendation we consider today is 911. Labeled simply organization. What CABE said here again was that NASA should, before return to flight, create a plan, a detailed plan, that would incorporate the three new entities or three enhanced entities within NASA, one being an independent technical authority, the second an enhanced SNMA or safety and mission assurance function, which already existed, and a revigoration of the Shuttle Integration Office, SENIO. So, again, overall, there certainly has been a plan. The NASA administrator, Mr. O'Keefe, said that the ITA should be implemented before return to flight for the shuttle. NASA has implemented it much beyond return to flight and much beyond the shuttle, as well as implemented the other three pieces, or the two pieces. Quickly going through them, ITA, the Independent Technical Authority, the issue that CABE raised, as you may recall, was that the program manager prior to Columbia had to make the trade-offs between schedule, resources, and waiving some of the technical requirements of the shuttle. The CABE thought that this was a conflict of interest, that you shouldn't have technical requirements and therefore safety in the same hands as the person who has to make the decisions about scheduling and use of resources. And so recommended this ITA be established. It has become much more than that. It has become a symbol for many people of NASA's willingness to change. And to that end, I think it is quite clear, if you take that as an indicator, that they have come a long way and are willing to do these kinds of big changes. The way ITA is being implemented now, and it is not fully in place, is that there is a single independent technical authority, the chief engineer. Chief engineer will be delegating some of those authorities down to what are termed technical warrant holders. They are individuals within NASA and on the government payroll who have particular subject matter expertise and often the best that we know within the agency, so that they are the owners of these technical requirements in their subject matter area. They can change those requirements with due process, but more to the point of the CABE, they can waive those requirements upon application by the program if that's necessary or appropriate. There are ways for these decisions to be adjudicated upward if necessary. But all in all, the ITA has been put together in a way that I think CABE would heartily endorse and is being rolled out now. We're seeing ITA activities, in fact, in many places. The MMT SIMs are indicative of the new role they will play in MMT. They are part of the official observers who are polled before things are done. They will be there on hand if there are any waivers required while on orbit. So they're exercising their authority both in fact and in these practice runs, and are quite evident. And we asked the program manager just 2 days ago, day before yesterday, how he thought ITA was working for him. And he said he thought it was going quite well and was better. These are my words, not his, but I inferred that it was going better than he anticipated, that it has been very constructive and much less disruptive than it was thought it could be at the beginning. So far, we're hearing all good things about implementation. As with everything else, time will tell, and whether the organizational fortitude continues to keep it in place. 752, Safety and Mission Assurance Organization. This is one of the places where CABE looked and couldn't find what they thought was a robust enough organization to sustain the activity. They said, and I think I quote correctly, there should be direct line authority, unquote, in the recommendation from the Center and Program Mission Safety and Mission Assurance Programs, up to NASA headquarters, that there should be independence, and there should be independence of funding was something they dwelled on a fair amount. NASA has gone to great lengths in the SNMA organization to, I think, fulfill what CABE had in mind, and that is there is now independence of funding. The SNMA community is answerable, although it doesn't report to the director of SNMA at headquarters. Brian O'Connor has much to say about the staffing of those organizations, the promotions, the hiring, the firing, the things that count. However, NASA has concluded that it's best organized if it leaves the center directors in the reporting line of authority, so that the center SNMA organizations report to the center director rather than to Brian O'Connor at headquarters. That single thing has caused us to say, well, it doesn't meet the letter of the word of CABE. Its intent was direct line authority, direct reporting. And so here we would say that NASA probably didn't meet exactly what CABE said, but they've largely met the objections CABE had before Columbia. 753, as I said, invigorating the shuttle integration office, reinvigorating. Almost immediately, Bill Parsons set up a new shuttle engineering integration office under John Murtaugh. They hit the ground literally running. One of the first briefings we had as a management panel was from John on his plans. He's hired a fair number of people. They have been very active and very instrumental in return to flight, from the analytical models that ultimately will be determined, used to assess risk, remaining risk on the orbiter before firing, to a lot of real engineering problems of that we've seen. Some of our management panel folks called in a number of times to there's a Monday morning meeting, as an example, at John Hose, and he has a list that started out to be the top 10 list, and so it was entitled the top X list, and that 10 quickly became much more. But there were significant issues that crossed elements, and so John took them on, and his organization was very successful and very efficient at resolving these cross-element and cross-organization problems. The integration is much, much better. Again, the reminder, the thing that drove CABE to this recommendation in the main was prior to Columbia and the film debris, it was too often someone saying it was somebody else's job. The tank said it's the orbiter's problem because it causes maintenance issues, and the orbiter was saying it's the tank problem because it's shedding from the tank. And the two were not working together to assess the impacts or try to mitigate the damage. That wouldn't happen today. John and the program have totally reinvigorated the integration efforts. There are now integration control boards that used to exist but had been let dwindle and are now back fully in force. So the integration is certainly much better. Systems analysis is much better. We are concerned that in order to sustain the systems engineering efforts that have been undertaken, there needs to be a break here at some point and documentation done to the processes and the efforts, which we've seen along the way have been not as consistent, as clean, as well recorded as we would like. While it may be understandable, it is not sustainable to have a program